Y'all did great. We have some groceries on the, whatever you call this, the pulpit area. We have some groceries already coming in, and we're grateful for that. 2 weeks from today will be our anniversary Sunday. It'll also be the day that you'll set your clocks back 1 hour, get an extra hour of sleep. It'll also mean that you won't be here for the 8 o'clock service unless you're here by yourself and waiting outside until the doors are unlocked. But Billy Smith from Fried Hardeman University will be our speaker that morning for our class and for our worship service. So please make your plans to be with us. And we have a lot of folks that are using our groceries. We've got some individuals who are collecting them for people that they are helping. And so we've got a lot of good need and usage for the groceries. And we appreciate so much your taking the time to fill those bags and bring them in. And we hope to have the stage full, the pulpit area full by the time that we gather together on the fourth Sunday in November. The fourth day of November, first Sunday in November. Be making your way to the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 32 through 35. And this is the passage from the book of Isaiah that the Ethiopian was reading as he was making his way back from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. And the interesting thing about Isaiah 53 is that it has three questions as you read from the book of Isaiah chapter 53. One of those questions is read by the Ethiopian as he is showing Philip the passage that he is reading from. Those three questions, the first two are almost identical. They are just two different ways of saying the same thing. And the first two questions are these. In verse 1 of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, who has believed our message? And the message is delivered in Isaiah 53, and the question is asked before it's ever delivered, who has believed it? Who's believed our message? And the second question in verse 1, the second part of verse 1, is almost identical to it. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And the arm of the Lord is a symbolic phrase that means the strength of the Lord or the power of the Lord. Who's believed our message? Well, obviously the message is about God's power and God's strength to do something, to accomplish something. And so the two questions are, who's believed our message, and to whom is it that God has made known or revealed the arm of his strength and his might? And those are the first two questions. The third one comes several verses later in verse 8. And depending on your translation, it will read in a lot of different ways. And what the Ethiopian will read when he reads this question is quite a bit different from what other translations of the Old Testament will read. And so it raises a question about what's the meaning of this particular question. And the New American Standard translation of Isaiah 53 in verse 8, it reads this way: as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? For his generation. We know this passage is talking about Jesus. And the question has to do with the generation of Jesus, those who lived at the time that he lived. Specifically, those individuals who witnessed his crucifixion and his taking our punishment for all of our sins. And the New American Standard will translate it, who of his generation, who of those people that lived around him, ever considered or ever thought about that he was cut off from the land of the living because of the transgressions of all of the people, the transgressions of all human beings, to whom that stroke was due to them. But he's the one that received it. Now look at the differences in the question as it comes from different translations. The NIV will say, yet who of his generation protested? Who of his generation stood up and said, this is not right and we will not allow it to occur? Who of his generation protested about the treatment that the Christ was receiving? The New Revised Standard will say, who could have imagined his future? Seeing what was occurring to him by his generation. And the book of Isaiah will read that we esteemed him smitten by God. We esteemed him stricken by God, deserving the punishment that he was receiving. And so the New Revised Standard will ask, who could have imagined of his generation his future? And the King James says, who shall declare his generation? Talking about possibly his descendants. Who will declare those of his descendants? Or who will declare his generation? Who will make it known who they are? The Message probably comes closest to getting it right. And it translates it, did anybody really know what was happening? Of his generation, was anyone aware of what was taking place and what was going on? I doubt that any did. And we know that his closest friends, his apostles, did not. Not until after his resurrection from the dead. But if you read in the New Testament, when the Ethiopian is reading this question, then the NIV will say, who can speak of his descendants? Most other translations will say, who can speak of his generation? And this is probably the translation that was used by the Septuagint translation, asking the question that one of the translations asked, who can tell about his descendants? Or who can tell us what was in the mind of those who saw him die on the cross? Which would be another way of looking at the question in Acts 8 and verse 33. Who can speak of his descendants? Who can speak regarding the generation that saw him die as to who had proper understanding as to what was going on? Or it could be asking, what about his future generations? He wasn't married. He had no children. But I don't really think that's the idea behind the verse. But that's the question that's here. The Ethiopian's question was, who is this talking about? Is this talking about the prophet? Or is it talking about somebody else? I want you to look with me. You can have your Bibles open to Acts 8, 26 through 39 if you'd like. I want you to look at some things with me regarding the conversion of this Ethiopian. Number one, there is an angel and the Holy Spirit involved in this conversion. It begins with the angel. It very quickly goes to the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit is at the conclusion. It's the angel or an angel that comes to Philip and tells him to go toward this desert place. It is the Holy Spirit who tells Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. Go to that chariot and don't leave it. And then it is the Holy Spirit that takes away Philip so that the Ethiopian doesn't see him anymore. And the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. But I want you to notice what's happening here. It is not the angel that talks to the Ethiopian. It is not the angel that goes to the man who is ready for salvation and tells him how to obtain it. Angels don't do that. The angels do not do that. And it is not the Holy Spirit who comes directly to the Ethiopian. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Why not? Because the Bible tells us this treasure of telling individuals about the saving grace of Jesus Christ and what's been done for us through Jesus Christ is put in earthen vessels. That means it's done by human beings. It's done by us. It's done by those who wrote the Bible. It's done by those who pick up the Bible and read it and read it to others. It's done by us when we talk to others about Jesus Christ. So while an angel is involved in this conversion, and the Holy Spirit is as well, it's the earthen vessel, Philip, that does the actual talking and does the actual explaining. And that's our responsibility. That's the job that God has given to us. But an angel and the Holy Spirit are involved in this conversion and may be involved in a lot more than we realize, but not in the way that we sometimes hear and not in the way that sometimes we might think. We have the idea about the Ethiopian that he didn't understand because of the way that he reacts to what he's reading. He's reading and he says, who is this person talking about? Who is this prophet speaking about? But Philip asked him specifically, do you understand what you're reading? And he very quickly replies, how can I unless somebody should guide me and help me? So he pictures himself as somebody who doesn't understand. And when we think about this Ethiopian, we think about him that way. As somebody that doesn't understand, but he understands a lot more than we might think. He understands a lot more than we give him credit for. And we need to be aware of it. Who is the prophet talking about? Look what he understands. He's reading the prophets. He's ahead of the majority of the rest of the world. In his understanding, he knows where to go to find truth from God. He knows where to go to find out what God would have him to do. He's reading the prophets. And the question that he has is, who is this prophet talking about? He not only is reading the prophets, he knows the prophets. And he knows what they are saying. He may not understand it. It may not be clear to him the meaning of it. But he knows what he says. And he knows the prophet. And he's reading those prophets. And he needs help trying to figure out, what's he talking about? What is the meaning here? He knew what the whole world needs to know. So he's not exactly an individual who's completely without understanding. He's ahead of the majority of the world in what he already knows and in what he already understands. Philip began at this place where he was reading, and he preached to him Jesus. How do we know what he preached? What do you say when you preach to somebody Jesus? Well, here we go. He preached who Jesus was. How do we know that? Now, you may not get it unless you look down at the footnote in the NIV, but in most every other translation, you'll recognize there's a conversation that takes place between Philip and the Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian will say at a point, here's water, why can't I be baptized? And Philip will say to him, if you believe, you can. And the Ethiopian responds, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what did Philip preach? What did Philip say to this Ethiopian to have him to come to that answer? He told him who Jesus was. that this Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus who was crucified in the city of Jerusalem, you're just coming back from, this Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the very Messiah that Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah chapter 53. He preached to him what Jesus did. He took our sins away in his death on that cross. That's what Isaiah was saying. He explained what Isaiah meant. All of the transgressions we have committed fell on him. All of the punishment that is due to us because of our sins, he paid. That's why he died on the cross, to pay for our sins and to take the punishment that was supposed to be ours. And the Ethiopian knew that, and he knew it because when Philip preached Jesus, he preached who he was and he preached what he did. And he also preached what Jesus said. How do we know that? Because as they went on the way, after he had come to understand who Jesus was, and after he had come to understand what Jesus had done on that cross, the Ethiopian will say, "Here is water. What keeps me from being baptized?" That baptism in water was not something he learned from the prophets. It was not something he learned from the Pharisees. It was not something he learned by going to Jerusalem and worshiping in the temple. It's something he learned because Philip told him what Jesus had said. And because he tells him what Jesus had said, then Philip, or rather the Ethiopian, when they come to that body of water, says, "Here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" And then when Philip preached Jesus, he preached what Jesus promised. "You put your trust in me, you will live with God forever. You put your trust in me, all of your sins are forgiven. And you live forever with me in heaven as God's very child." How do we know that's what Philip preached? Because when the Spirit caught away Philip and the eunuch didn't see him anymore, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing because he had been brought out of death into life. He had been brought out of separation from God, now to be considered by God as righteous, now to be considered by God as holy, now to be considered by God as his only child. Philip preached to him Jesus. And these are all the things involved in what Philip said to him. And the same message is put in all of us as God's earthen vessels to deliver the message that angels long to deliver, and that the Holy Spirit has prepared and written for us. But God gives us the job and the responsibility to take the message of Jesus Christ to all those in the world that we know. But this is the message we must believe. This is the message we must accept. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He paid the penalty for all of my sins and took away everything I've ever done wrong. And he wants me to be immersed into him, to go through a likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection, to be baptized into him, and to die to myself and to live for him, and to go the rest of my life rejoicing because of the hope that is laid before me, because of my trust in Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ? Are you ready to become a Christian? Do you need to come home to him? We offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.